Final hour, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Reaction Monday, Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly reacting to the Titans' third straight loss to start the season, 41-20 against the Colts yesterday at Nissan Stadium. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Back into the Titans here. It has not been good enough at any level. Players, coaches, management. But I did want to touch on the headline from this weekend that has flown under the radar, you know, with how bad the team played yesterday. T'Vondre Sweat re-injures his ankle and is now out for at least three more games. It's so tough for the Titans to build this team up when two of their key core pieces are just not on the field. And I understand injuries happen. Like, it's not anything anybody did. These aren't soft tissue injuries, I don't think. Like when Vrabel was here, you saw hamstrings galore. But a hip for J.C. Latham, an ankle for T'Vondre Sweat, it's just so tough to see this team that was supposed to take a step forward in large part because that 2024 draft class was supposed to be good. But you don't have those two key players on the field right now. And Sweat for sure will not play again until at least the game against the Patriots on October 19th. And who knows what's going on with J.C. Latham. He hasn't practiced in 2 weeks. So I would say probably not a great chance that he plays against Houston. There's a chance, but if he doesn't play against Houston, he better play in the next game against Arizona, because it's like, at that point, why wouldn't you put him on IR? So I hate it, because you want to see this team at full strength to get an idea of where this team is headed and the trajectory of the growth that they can have. But when you're getting beat in the trenches like they are on both sides of the ball because you have injuries on the right side of your offensive line and your big nose tackle isn't out there on the defensive side, it's tough to really tell what this team can be and whether they can develop, because two of your most important players up front just are not on the field right now. And I just don't think you're going to see the true year two jump that you should from Sweat and Latham, because they just haven't been able to stay healthy.
Yeah, this is a very interesting situation. I know the Kevin Winston injury makes a little bit more sense to me, just because he's coming back from an ACL tear surgery. There's a little bit of soreness, so they're trying to manage that. But this T'Vondre Sweat, the first the tonsillitis and now the ankle, it's all just a little weird to me. But yeah, it clearly has a huge effect on the defense. You could tell through the first 3 weeks when T'Vondre Sweat is not out there, because Daniel Jones and Matthew Stafford in back-to-back weeks, no pressure whatsoever.
Man, it was funny. We were talking about it on Friday of, like, Matthew Stafford is a guy who you expect to get the ball out quick. And he's going to be a guy who, even when you do get pressure on him, he's going to have an answer for you. Daniel Jones, at least historically, is not known to be that type of guy. But man, yesterday there were two or three times where you felt like you had him. Jeffrey Simmons at least twice had Daniel Jones. He escapes, and, you know, he had the long run. He got out of trouble a couple of times and made some throws. Like, Daniel Jones is not supposed to be a guy who can carve you up like that. And what a start to the season for Daniel Jones. Still hasn't turned the ball over, I don't believe. He has three passing touchdowns and three rushing touchdowns. I saw it on Sunday Night Football yesterday. I think he's the first player in the Super Bowl era to do that. In his first three games or something like that. So
yeah, there might have been one other player mentioned, but yeah, right. No, that was, I remember the stat.
So
yeah.
Man, props to the Colts. They came out, they punched the Titans in the mouth, and, you know, Cam Ward obviously helped with that. We'll get into that in a second. But the Titans had no answers defensively. And Denard Wilson, you talk about how good that defense was in Denver. I mean, they affected Bo Nix. They caused turnovers. Yesterday, it just felt like the Colts could do whatever they wanted. And it didn't matter. You got them into third down and seven, third down and eight a couple times, and they would just convert, or you'd get a penalty. And we said it earlier. special teams, if you want to hang your hat on something, that's about all you got, because the offense hasn't been good enough in all three games, and the defense the last 2 weeks has just been atrocious.
You know, it's been awful. I sit there in the press box and I watch, and Daniel Jones has forever to throw, and it's just pitch and catch. Matthew Stafford, the same thing. He's a future Hall of Famer. He'll carve up a defense even after 17 years in the league, because there's no pass rush whatsoever.
Right.
I wish I had that much time in the pocket when I played.
No, I know. And it's even when they did get pressure, they couldn't tackle him. And the tackling was really bad yesterday. I mean, you look at that long Jonathan Taylor run, there is no reason he should have scored a touchdown on that play. I think I saw a Colts reporter saying, it might have been Stephen Holder from ESPN, said that I guess Shane Steichen was excited about that play call specifically. I guess they had seen something on film where they could kind of wipe out the Titans' defensive line. But, like, even with the way they designed that play, it should have only gone for, like, 7 or 8 yards if the Titans could just tackle. At best, it should have gone for, like, 20 yards, but no one could get Jonathan Taylor down yesterday. It was a failure on a lot of different levels in yesterday's game for the Tennessee Titans. But you're not going to see T'Vondre Sweat out there, at least for the road trip coming up. And J.C. Latham, who knows when he's going to be back. Titans had to play with backups at both spots on the right side of the line. And to be fair, I don't think the offensive line was – it wasn't any different, really, from what we saw last week, right? Like, Cam Ward got sacked 4 times. So you're going down.
Penalties were still there.
Right. Like, it was still bad. It wasn't – but it's not like it was a Ravens game in 2019 where Cam was just on his back every time he took the snap. So Wes in Clarksville says, shout out to Marcus Mariota. He has more wins than the Titans. Yes, he does.
I almost did the funniest thing yesterday. I almost wore my Titans Mariota jersey to the press box.
Really?
I was so close to it. I wasn't going to do it, but that would have been hilarious.
My fiance was wearing a Marcus jersey at the game yesterday. So, you know, shout out Marcus Mariota. We'll always love Marcus around here. And, you know, he did get a win for the Commanders yesterday. The Titans just aren't good enough up front. And when you're missing J.C. Latham and T'Vondre Sweat, you're going to continue to get picked on. And it's tough to watch, but I think we've got to get used to it at this point. We're going to see it at least on the defensive line with no Sweat for the next 3 games. I really hope J.C. Latham can come back this week, but it's the fact that he hasn't practiced in back-to-back weeks doesn't make me feel great about it. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam from Portland has called in, wanted to talk about Brian Callahan. Adam, thanks for calling. What you got for us?
Well, maybe we should just start saying what a great coach he is and see if it rubs off the other way.
Reverse psychology?
Like, I've been saying it since pretty much like the halftime of the Denver game, man. Like, I don't know what else to say except – I think he's going to poison the rest of the team. Like, Jeff is what he is. I would be happy to get rid of him, but I would have been happy to get rid of him before the season. But if he wants to go with Callahan, he could for sure go with Callahan. Like, I think our team has a lot of potential. And if you listen, like, around the league, there's plenty of fan bases that feel like this. The Giants are losing their freaking mind right now with Brian Daboll. But he looks like Belichick compared to Brian Callahan. Do y'all not get that? Like, he's – Callahan, I've never seen a coach so many weeks in a row do something where you talk about the coach. Like, usually we'd be ripping our players. At 0-3, we're ripping our players every year. Like, oh, my God, we got a block. We can't do this and that. This is all the coach. Like, yes, the players aren't good enough. I get that. But the coach has brought them all down. They all start at even kill, and then he brings them down with his stupid decisions. Like, how do you pick yourself back up if you're a young team? So, I don't know, dude. I've just never seen anything like him. He's impressively bad. I've never seen anything like him.
No, it's really bad, Adam. Thanks for the call. There are a lot of aspects to being a head coach, and it does feel like Brian Callahan is failing in all of them. Like, team wasn't ready to play yesterday. That was evident from watching the game and from what we heard from Michael Pittman and the Colts, that basically, like, you could tell that team didn't want to be out there. In-game management has been bad. Like Adam said, you can't have this many weeks in a row where we're talking about the coach, right? Like, you cannot be talking about the head coach costing you points 2 out of the 3 weeks. And really, all 3 weeks, not knowing what the right decision heading into the half should be. Like, too aggressive week one, so he reels it back in and gets conservative week two, tries to do it again in week three and completely botches it. Like, that cannot happen. And, I mean, the players aren't getting better, are they? Right? Like
Alec Ailmanner might be.
Right. There are examples.
He's the best receiver through 3 weeks.
For sure. And we're going to talk about Calvin Ridley before the show ends today. But the players aren't getting better. Like, Bill Callahan is supposed to be a legendary offensive line coach, and he is. Like, you can't take anything away from Bill Callahan and what he's done in his career, but it's really disappointing that with the talent and the investment they've made on that front, that Cam Ward has been sacked 15 times in 3 games. Like, it's and part of that's on Cam. Like, Cam can't hold the ball as long as he has. The one early in the game he slipped again. He'll comment about the grass and the turf, I'm sure, but you know, it,
which I do agree with him on, for the record, but
no, I agree. I think it should be grass, but like, it's going to be turf. There's no point in having the conversation. It's going to be turf. Callahan, there's really not much you can point to say, yeah, that's at least a reason to keep him. And again, he's scheduled to speak this afternoon, so he's not getting fired this week, but I think it's going to be sooner rather than later, unless things change in a big way, which, if you've been watching the games, don't think you can count on any big changes happening over the next month or so. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We do have to mention Cam Ward. Like, Cam Ward doesn't deserve all the blame for yesterday's game. The whole team didn't play well enough. The whole coaching staff didn't coach well enough. But man, did Cam Ward set the tone in a bad way to start off the game yesterday. We'll talk about that pick six next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up. You're on 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Monday morning. Titans lose again, 41-20 to the Colts. They're 0-3 for the second straight season under Brian Callahan. They head out to Houston for the first of a 3-game road trip. The Texans, also 0-3. That is the AFC South Toilet Bowl coming up on Sunday from, is it NRG Stadium now? I was about to call it Reliant Stadium, but that's the old one. Brian Callahan obviously is going to get most of the criticism today. You lose that game, you were really never close, and he made another bad decision at the end of the first half. But Cam Ward, he set the tone yesterday with maybe one of the worst pick sixes that I've ever seen. Like, Will Levis's was bad in the way that he should never have even thrown the ball. But this one was different in that Cam clearly thought, he was thinking of, I need to take the check down here. Like, let's not force it. He didn't set his feet, and he just kind of flicked it over there into the flats for Tony Pollard. He said he told him the wrong route, but I don't know. Kenny Moore jumped right in front of that and took it back for an easy pick six. And the game was never really close after that. Cam Ward, I think, he has been fine. And he did make some plays down the stretch. Like, he made some good throws. The touchdown to Alec Ailmanner at the goal line was, I mean, that was a dart in a tight window. And he made the play. And I was on fourth down as well. So, like, Cam Ward's made some plays. He tried another one of his throwbacks where this one he was rolling left, threw it back right, and it hit Calvin Ridley in the numbers. Good coverage, but maybe one that could have been caught. So, like, Cam Ward, I don't think he deserves all of the blame. Not even half of the blame for yesterday's game. But, man, what a tough way to start that game when you elect to receive and on the third play you're already down 7-0. It felt in that stadium yesterday like everybody knew, all right, well, this game's over about a minute and a half in. And it's a tough feeling, but the way this offense is played, you put yourself in a 7-0 hole. They've only scored 3 touchdowns in 3 games, and 2 of them were in garbage time. Like, it's tough to dig yourself out of that when you start the game with a pick six, 3 plays in.
Yeah, no, it was over really from the start, because I just had a bad feeling about it when I walk into the stadium and I see that it's what, 30% capacity, 20 minutes until kickoff, and then Cam Ward throws the pick six on the opening drive of the game. You cannot throw a check down that late, especially if you're going to lob the football like he did. And it gave the defender, Kenny Moore, plenty of time to break on it, pick it right off, and just trot into the end zone.
It was a gift. I mean, it was a gift. He lobbed it over there, and Kenny Moore, I mean, honestly, I think he might have gotten impatient waiting for that ball to try and jump it at the right time. It can't happen. And the one thing we've been able to say with Cam Ward through the first couple of weeks was, hey, he's not putting the ball in harm's way. That can't happen, especially that early into the game. It's one play from Cam Ward, and I thought he was fine for the rest of the game. I thought he responded well. They got him on the move, and he hit Chig for a nice gain up the far sideline, and then the seam route to Chig on that drive. It was similar to those plays in Denver of, like, was it the best throw? Probably not. Like, it was high. Chig had to jump, but it did hit him in the hands. The question you have to ask on those plays is, like, all right, yeah, was it the best throw? No, but should he have caught it? Probably, especially on third down. Maybe that changes the game if you can get a touchdown on that first drive and respond after the pick six. But you go down 7-3, you look up, you're down 10-3. They did make the goal line stand, and then it was 17-3, and it's like, all right, well, this game's over. The pick six, it really set the tone, and the Titans just were never able to recover after that. And it's a rookie mistake by a rookie in his third game, but that's something that he cannot do moving forward, because last year, Will Levis started game three with a pick six of his own. And that was that Jaire Alexander who picked it off for the Packers?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. He jumped the route and took it back. But, like, that was one of those plays where you could look at it and say, man, that's a really good cornerback making a good play. This was one where it didn't matter who was out there, that's a pick six. And those are the plays that you cannot have if you're going to be successful in this league.
Yeah, and the thing about Cam Ward is it's an experience. And you knew that when you drafted him, that he is going to take a lot of risk. But oftentimes the rewards will outweigh the bad.
Yep.
Yesterday was an example of, okay, that was really, really bad. But then he did throw a touchdown late at the end of the game. That's just going to happen. Cam Ward's going to throw back across his body in the middle of the field. Cam Ward is going to make plays that make you hold your breath and say, no. And then, big sigh of relief once the play's over. That's just part of the Cam Ward experience. It's a typical rookie mistake from a rookie. The difference between him and Will Levis, the flick that he had to Gunnar Helm last week versus L.A., Will Levis threw that to the opposite team. Cam Ward didn't.
Yeah, and it's only three games. You can't make any big sweeping declarations about what Cam Ward has been, but you hope that that mistake is just that. It's a mistake that he learns from and realizes he can't be late throwing it out to the flat like that to Tony Pollard, and he doesn't do it again. But could be a red flag if that was just not a good idea, not a good throw, and it ended up hurting the team seriously early on. Wes in Clarksville, Texan, 615-737-1025. I ain't saying Levis is blameless, but I'm starting to want to issue an apology to Will Levis. Hope a functional team gives him a second chance. Yeah, I don't think Will Levis is blameless. Like, a lot of the issues with Will Levis last year were on Will Levis. Like, he made bad decisions, but I think you're starting to realize that Will Levis wasn't the biggest problem around here last year. And Brian Callahan, again, we've said it all show long. You cannot be having these conversations about your coach costing you points twice out of the first 3 weeks. And that's where we are. It should have been a 7-point swing against Denver. It ended up being a 4-point swing because Chimdike had the return. And it was a 6-point swing yesterday with taking the delay game and not really having an idea of whether you wanted to go for it and kick it, not getting the kicker ball out there, whatever it was. You cost your team points. Indy was able to go score three at the end of the half. Cannot happen. And Pat McAfee is, you can see if you're watching the stream over my shoulder, saying the Colts are the best team in football. Again, I'm not willing to go that far.
No homerism whatsoever.
Right, yeah. Wonder why Pat's saying that. But I will eat some crow on this Monday and say that I seriously underestimated the Colts. I did not think that team was very good, and they came in and they played another great game. They got a lot of talent over there, and Daniel Jones seems to be having a reawakening since leaving New York. And if you're going to pick a team to win the AFC South right now, why wouldn't it be the Colts? Like, I think the Colts are going to end up being a playoff team with the way the Texans have played, the way the Titans have played, and, you know, I just don't believe in the Jaguars.
Yeah, neither do I. The AFC South is completely up for grabs. I do think, like I said on Friday, like I said last week, I think there's a hint of fool's gold with the Colts. I think they're a good football team, and I think they absolutely have a chance to win the division. I mean, they're 3-0, and the rest are 1-2 or 0-3. So they already have a good lead. Wait, the Jags are 1-2, correct?
I was going to say, I think the Jags won yesterday, didn't they?
Double check that.
I honestly did not pay. Yeah, they did. Oh, they beat the Texans. Right. They played the Texans.
Sorry.
So yes, they did win.
They're 2-1. 2-1.
Man,
yes.
I did not think that the Colts and Jags would be 5-1 through the first 2 weeks, and the Texans would be 0-3.
Well, the Texans' offensive line is atrocious. So that game next week, I saw a meme that said this game should be flexed to 4 a.m. between the Titans and the Texans. This is not going to be easy on the eyes.
Yeah. Dustin from Hopkinsville said, I said it before yesterday's game, my Super Bowl favorite is the Colts. I'm not going that far. I think this is still probably a 10-win team, but being a 10-win team is way better than I thought they were going to be at the beginning of the year. So the Colts, I will eat some crow. I will say I severely underestimated the Colts last week, and they came in and rocked the Titans. So we'll see what they're able to do the rest of the year. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Reacting to the Titans losing their third straight game, 0-3 for the second straight year, after falling 41-20 to Indianapolis at home yesterday. Time to talk Calvin Ridley. It has just not been good enough for the highly paid wide receiver one for the Titans. We will talk about the pass catchers and maybe if the Titans start looking at trading some pieces at the trade deadline coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Final half hour on this Monday, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly reacting to the Titans 41-20 loss to the Indianapolis Colts yesterday. Titans fall to 0-3 ahead of a three-game road trip coming up starting this week in Houston. Chase and Big Joe are coming up at the top of the hour. Sure, lots of thoughts from them on the Titans' third straight loss. I want to talk Calvin Ridley because heading into this season, the hype was astronomical for Calvin Ridley and Cam Ward. The connection between those two guys, that Ridley was going to have a 1,300-yard season, and I was buying it. Like, I got to say, I was buying it based on what we've heard from practice, what we saw in the preseason. Like, it looked like they had a good connection, and it just has not shown up when the live bullets have started flying. One catch on 7 targets yesterday for Calvin Ridley. 1 on 7 targets. And I don't know if there was a blatant, egregious drop yesterday from Calvin Ridley. And if I'm forgetting one, maybe remind me. But, I mean, there was the bobbled one, the pass that was tipped in the red zone where Ridley on the second attempt, it hit him in the hands. It's not a drop, but that's an opportunity to make a play on third down for your quarterback.
Should have been caught, though.
He should have caught it. It hit him in the hands. I understand, like, the ball was deflected. It was spinning. Like, it's not the easiest catch in the world. He should have caught it. The throwback from Ward into the end zone, again, had a guy draped on his back, probably still should have caught it. One catch on 7 targets, and it was for 27 yards. It was a long play. Titans were able to dig themselves out after a sack or a penalty. It was second and long, I believe. The rest of the Titans receiving core yesterday had 22 catches on 27 targets, if I'm doing the math right. Yes, 22 catches on 27 targets. So pretty efficient there. They did. They qualified 4 of Cam Ward's passes as not targeting anyone, throwaways. But 22 of 27 to everybody else on the field, pretty good. 1 for 7 targeting Calvin Ridley. You're paying this guy nearly $25 million a year. He's got to start making plays for you. Like, I understand it's not there weren't a ton of easy balls that went through his hands yesterday. But when you're paying a guy that much to be your wide receiver one, it's not just making the easy plays. He's got to go make plays for you and help out the quarterback, and he has not done that through three games.
It's like the same conversation with the Dan Moore situation that the conversation we've been having. If I'm paying elite money for a service, I expect it to work. And especially if I'm paying $90 million to Calvin Ridley, and it's not like they can just get out of the deal after this year. So Callahan talked about this yesterday. How do we get Calvin Ridley out of this slump? And really, the only way I think you can do it is he knows. He's been in this league for a while. He knows that he's in a slump. He knows that he's dropping passes. You don't have to tell him that. I think the only way that you can really help him get out of this is to encourage him.
Yeah.
I really think that's it. Give him a little bit of confidence so that at least he can go out and perform on the field.
7988 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Calvin Ridley has a 38% completion percentage. So when Cam Ward targets him, only 38% have been completed. The next lowest Titan is Tony Pollard and Chimray Dike with 50%. Gunnar Helm is the best at 85. Chigakonkwa has the most yards at 120. Ridley leads the team at yards per completion at 14 yards per catch. He just hasn't been catching the ball enough. Again, like you can't keep having these conversations of he was what? Four catches on 8 targets against Denver. He had 3 catches last week against the Rams on, I want to say, 6 targets. So he's about 50% and then goes 1 for 7 yesterday. Again, like, it's not all on Calvin Ridley. Cam Ward has to be better too. But when you're targeting your supposed number one wide receiver who was primed for a breakout year and he's been this bad, something's got to change. And I wonder, starting to wonder if Brian Callahan does get let go in the next month, let's say before the Patriots game or after the Patriots game, sometime in mid-October, before then, Brian Callahan is let go. Do the Titans just start selling things off? Like, do we start to see Jeffrey Simmons' name on the trade block? Do we start to see Calvin Ridley's name on the trade block? Xavier Woods maybe could be a guy you throw out there. I don't know if anyone's going to take L'Jarius Sneed, but like, does it start to become baseball is the best example of it. You'll see it in basketball too, of like just a fire sale. Titans become full-on sellers, try and get as much draft capital as they can for next year and try and build around Cam Ward with whoever the next head coach is.
Yeah, I think you definitely got to consider shopping some of these guys. The problem is when they come to the Titans, and they themselves may not be poor players, but when they come to the Titans and the outcomes are what they are, they look poor to other teams. I'll take a Tyler Boyd, for example. I feel like Tyler Boyd still had some left in the tank, but when you go and you have the type of season that you had with Will Levis throwing you the football, nobody wants you. Tyler Lockett might be the same yeah. situation.
I mean, I think... and when you say shop these guys, Jeffrey Simmons maybe gets you. I think he could get you a first round pick. I do.
That's maybe.
I think that's what you're asking for if you're the Titans. You want a first round pick, and that's why I don't think Jeffrey Simmons does get traded. Like, I don't know if the Titans are all that interested in moving him, and I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot of teams that are willing to give up premium draft capital in the middle of the season for a defensive tackle who. I mean, he made some plays in Denver, but hasn't proven that he can do it consistently enough. And Calvin Ridley, I think you could get something for. If you could find a team that's willing to take on that contract, which is a big thing. But when I say something, I'm not saying a second round pick. Is probably like a compensatory third or a fourth for Calvin Ridley. I mean, I don't know if you're getting much more than that. But you do need all the picks you can get right now. And I do wonder if this road trip goes as bad as I think most people are expecting it to, if the Titans start to put some names up there on the trade block and see if they can add some draft picks for next year. Easiest way to add draft picks would obviously be getting a high pick and trading out of it, but I just wonder, the way Calvin Ridley's playing right now, yeah, you mentioned, is his stock going to be all that high? But maybe you have a couple of showcase games for him over the next couple of weeks and see if he can raise that trade value heading up to the trade deadline.
I just don't know if it's – I mean, he has 8 receptions on 21 targets, which is he's catching 38% of his footballs.
Yeah.
And stats don't always tell the whole story because some of those, you know, Cam Ward puts a little heat. You know, Calvin Ridley may not be expecting it, but overall, he's dropping the football too much. He's not there to make a big play when you need a big play. So what does that mean for his trade value?
Yeah, the trade deadline is November 4th. So I think odds are Brian Callahan probably not the coach at that point. Like, maybe they don't want to fire him midseason, but I just don't know how much longer you can let it go on like this. And if you've already fired the coach, you're kind of mailing in this season. I just wonder if it makes sense to – I mean, if these veterans aren't producing for you, turn them into draft picks who, whether you use those picks or you use you could trade them to move up or down. Like, it just gives you more options, and I really don't – I don't know if having Calvin Ridley or Jeffrey Simmons on your team for the next 2 years really is going to make you that much better of a team. We'll see, though. Sonny ass Chiefs and Calvin Ridley. Yeah, I mean, how quick does Calvin Ridley turn into a superstar if he goes to Kansas City?
I mean, Tyquan Thornton looks like a superstar right now, and they need all the help they can get at receiver.
That
so,
is true.
Who knows?
Do we see back-to-back years where the Titans trade a veteran receiver to the Kansas City Chiefs? I mean, I don't know. This is all speculation at this point, but Calvin Ridley's not been good enough, and you start to wonder whether he's more valuable to you as a trade asset than he is actually as a player. Because right now, he is not good enough. One catch, 7 targets yesterday. Again, wasn't blatant drops yesterday like we saw in Denver, where the ball hits him in the hands and he's unable to haul it in. But it's not like he's out there. Do you think opposing defenses are really worried about Calvin Ridley right now?
I'd be more worried about Alec Ayoman.
Right. Like, maybe the issues Calvin Ridley is having is because they're focusing in on him. But right now, even when he gets thrown the ball, he's not making plays. And you need a guy that you're paying that much money to make plays for you, not just be another guy out there. And so far, that's pretty much the maximum of what Calvin Ridley has been. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Last call for phones if you have any thoughts on the Titans' loss yesterday to the Colts. We will get to them in the final segment. Again, Chase and Big Joe are coming up at the top of the hour. We'll wrap up our show after this. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Finishing up the show on this Monday morning, Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Titans 0-3. For the second straight year, 41-20 loss to the Indianapolis Colts yesterday. And just overarching thoughts, I said it last week that I felt this was Brian Callahan's chance to prove that he had things going in the right direction. Go out and win a football game. Don't just, you know, if the Colts had just given it to you, win it 17-13, something like that. Go out and win a game. Be impressive. And they didn't do it. In fact, they did the opposite. They got beat impressively by the Colts yesterday at Nissan Stadium. And, I mean, the takeaway I have from it is I just don't really see a path for him to dig himself out of this hole. Like, he's not getting fired this week. He may not get fired next week. He may not get fired till the bye week. But it feels inevitable that at some point during this season, he is no longer going to be the head coach of the Titans. I mean, we haven't seen anything to show that this is heading in the right direction in pretty much any avenue. And so I don't know when it's going to happen, but it feels like yesterday might have been the last chance to, you know, we're past the point of no return at this point.
Yeah, yesterday was the nail in the coffin for me. You can't be the head coach of a football team and continually cost this team points, continue to put your rookie quarterback in positions that don't benefit him and help him grow. There's no defending Brian Callahan after yesterday, and I can't think of a single good thing that he's done to help this franchise go in a positive direction from where they've been the last 3-4 years.
He is going to speak to the media coming up in a little under an hour, so we'll hear what he has to say. And it sucks. Back-to-back years. I mean, it's September 22nd, and the season's over. I mean, again, mathematically, yes, obviously they could go on a run and figure this out, but they've shown us absolutely nothing to make us think that they're going to, I mean, they're even going to win a game. Going 0-17 is hard in the NFL. Bad teams win all the time in the NFL. But Would I pick the Titans to win any of their remaining games except for maybe the Saints right now? Probably not. Like, I think I'd pick them to beat the Saints at home, and they're probably going to be underdogs in every other game they play.
And you might get a divisional win.
The Browns,
I mean, they just beat the Packers yesterday, so who knows?
And that one's in Cleveland. Yeah, you're right. Like, usually you'd guess one home division win comes their way, but it didn't last year. They went 0-3 against the division at Nissan Stadium last season. So, I don't know. It seems like we're just playing the waiting game now of when does Amy finally pull the trigger and get rid of Brian Callahan. And it's a tough place to be. I don't like coming on here and talking about losses every single week. Like, last week I wasn't on every day, but last year I wasn't on every day, but like, I did the show with TD on Fridays, and it got tough towards the end of the year to find an hour of stuff to talk about because the team's just so bad. And it's tough that we're heading in that direction where not only do the games in December not matter, but the games in October probably aren't going to matter very much. And that's not where you want to be as a fan base, as an organization, but this is back-to-back years where the team is just not going to be very competitive.
And I tend to be a glass half full person.
Me too. I try to be.
What's the hope here?
Right.
What's the hope?
Right. That's what's tough about it is, like, I try and be an optimistic person. I don't consider myself a pessimist when it comes to the Tennessee Titans in general. Like, I usually try and look at the bright side and see what could be, but there's nothing. There really is. And you're selling hope when you're an NFL franchise who isn't very good. Like, good teams can sell results. Bad teams have to sell hope. And outside of Cam Ward, where's the hope? There really isn't much. And clearly the hope around Cam Ward isn't enough to get people in the building, as we saw yesterday.
Yeah. You have Alec O'Manor, you have Chim Dike, you have Gunnar Helm that could be promising young rookies.
Right.
But what would draw a head coaching candidate to the Tennessee Titans right now?
Well, it's tough because you mentioned the young people, the young players, and it's like, yeah, you want to have hope, but like, there's a difference between being a young and scrappy team that, like, you know, we've seen a Titans team like that before where, yeah, there's a lot of youth and maybe they're not very good right now, but this is a team that has some talent and they'll play up and they'll beat somebody they're not supposed to. Like, this team has some young pieces, but they're not doing anything with it. Like, you're not winning these games. You're not even competitive in this game yesterday.
It doesn't help if you can't stop molasses in December. You get no pass rush. You get no help from that front seven, the front four whatsoever.
Yeah.
Your offensive line, I mean, the right tackle with the injuries, J.C. Latham and Kevin Zeitler being out, that doesn't help. I mean, it's just not a good situation.
No, it's just bad. And you'd love to be able to watch your young players compete in games where you have a chance to go win. Like, let's look back at, like, the Titans in 2017, even before A.J. Brown was there. Like, the Eagles game at Nissan Stadium in overtime. That team didn't end up making the playoffs in 2017, but you got to see Corey Davis. Or was that 2018? Sorry, 2018.
Yep, 2018.
That was Corey Davis' second year.
Was that A.J. Brown's rookie?
No, A.J. was 2019. That was Corey Davis' second year in 2018.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Play the Eagles, who are the defending Super Bowl champs, and you beat them in overtime because your young quarterback hit your top five pick wide receiver for a touchdown to win the game. Like, that was exciting to watch. And you knew that team wasn't going to be a Super Bowl contender, but you could see the growth. Right now, like, fine, we get to watch Cam Ward throw touchdowns to Alec Iamanor when you're down by 21. I'd like to see, even if you go 6-11 this year, you'd love to see some of those plays between your young players actually matter for the outcome of the game. And so far, they have not.
There wasn't a single point in the game yesterday where I thought the Titans were going to win. Not a single point.
No.
Not even in the day. Like, even when I was driving to the stadium when I was going, I just did. The energy wasn't there.
No, I think the Broncos and Rams game, at the very least, you could point to that there were times in that game where you're like, all right, this team's in it. Like, they got a chance. Yesterday, there was no such moment like that. You know, they got the ball back 10-3, and then you're maybe like, all right, maybe they can move the football. And then it was 17-3 before you know it, and the game was pretty much
out. And you blink, and it's 41-20.
Right. So, another bad one for the Titans. We have, I feel like we've sufficiently unpacked that one today, but we'll have more on the Titans, of course, tomorrow. Do want to mention, good Monday Night Football game tonight.
Very good.
Lions Ravens in Baltimore. Like, that's, if things go right for those teams, maybe a Super Bowl preview. I mean, the Ravens, they lost to the Bills. Lions lost to the Packers, but both really talented teams. I think we might see a good amount of points on the board. So I am excited for this this Monday Night Football game tonight. You know, so the primetime schedule so far has been, it's been solid. That Ravens-Bills game, we saw on Thursday Night Football, the Dolphins hung in there with the Bills. So excited for that one tonight coming up on ESPN. Also, Commodore Hour tonight on 102.5 The Game. So make sure you listen in to get the latest after Vanderbilt's win over Georgia State, putting up 70 for the first time since 1918. Big win for Vanderbilt on Saturday. Again, Titans fall 41-20 yesterday. They are now 0-3 on the year. And start to wonder, how long is Brian Callahan going to be around in Nashville? He will speak to the media coming up in just over half an hour. That will do it for us today on the show. Jake Lyman and Parker Kelly signing off. Chase and Big Joe going to have their full reaction to the Titans' loss yesterday. They're coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.